And we're on. Jake, are you with me?
I'm sorry, wasn't expecting that to end so abruptly.
Neither was I, but you're coming through a little bit quieter than the music. Skype still insists that it can't hear me speaking, which...
Yeah, it also says that it can't hear me.
So. Huh. I think that's Skype's issue that Skype's going to have to resolve. I do wish it would quit beeping at us.
Is it beeping at us?
Yeah, it makes some kind of noise like, oh my god, I can't hear you!
Huh.
But, whatever. But hey, we got 10 dozen minutes of Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead. We have Jake via remote, Jake at the home office in Sioux City, Iowa, and me at the satellite office in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oshkosh?
Oshkosh. There actually is a city called Oshkosh. That's where Oshkosh Bagosh is based, believe it or not.
What does Bagosh mean?
I always thought it was like a by gosh, which is kind of, you know, if you don't have the guts to say by God.
Hmm. Who doesn't have the guts to say that?
I think my mom would say by gosh. Like, by gosh, Zach, that's a big penis. You know, something my mom would say.
Yeah, that is something that she would say.
But Jess's mom, actually.
Because she writes a lot of Saved by the Bell / fiction.
Right. It's kind of odd, though. Jezreflies' mom is not at all religious, but she still doesn't like hearing people say goddamn. So whenever we were at their house, she would say, "No, I don't like you saying goddamn in my house, Josh." So when she was here and she said gosh something, I said, "We say goddamn in this house."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's right.
I still find it weird that you can't say goddamned on TV.
I always find it weird that they beep the god.
Yeah.
Like, beep damned. I don't know why god is a swear word.
It's really awkward when, like, beep smack is being interviewed on a talk show.
Yeah. And beep bless America.
Right.
Naked Juice says that our voice levels are both perfect.
Waiting for beep ot.
I guess the god
can't think of anything else.
Spelled differently. Yeah, it's no good. Where are we with the questions? Are they current?
I don't know.
Are they old? Are you looking at them?
Yeah, I am. I know some of these got read, but it might. Were we talking about? But that's weird. Weren't we talking about the find the guy? No, we were talking about mystery case files on the show with Riff.
Yeah.
So yeah, these are from the end. Oh no, 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 this whole Hagi was telling me, giving me advice with a part of a Dead Rising that I had had trouble with. And we were talking about having a zombie Andy Warhol to do our bidding.
Would that bidding just be make me a painting that looks like this can of soup? Because I think other than that, you're not going to get much out of him.
Oh, Foggy pointed out, because we were doing some talking about Grand Theft Auto, he points out, as a side note about Grand Theft Auto, they never had things you would do to explicitly unlock radio content, but the talk radio content updated based on how many quests you had done. I guess I did not know that.
Huh.
I never noticed it, at least in Vice City. Did you ever seriously play any of the GTA games?
No, most of the time when I tried to play them, it was just kind of, God, where the hell am I? Where am I supposed to be? And the map at the bottom of the screen didn't even help.
Yeah, the map is really not that great. But I don't know. It takes a little time to get your head into what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I found
Vice City pretty rewarding.
I
never really seriously played any of them until I got Vice City for the PC.
Hmm.
Like, I think that it would be I don't know whether I just didn't like San Andreas or whether I didn't like playing it on the PS2. I have a feeling it was a little bit of both.
So is it a better game with the keyboard, or do you use a controller?
It's a better game when you can aim your gun with the mouse, in my mind, because I suck at shooters on consoles. It's like I don't have the same just complete failure to, like, be able to deal with the left stick moves, right stick looks thing that I think you've said that you have, but I can't use it with any precision or skill.
Yeah, and I don't know, I had a hard time playing, you know, like the 3D Legend of Zelda games. And it was that difficulty navigating the three-dimensional space multiplied by how fast you're driving in a car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The one thing that I did, and this served a couple purposes, is in all the Grand Theft Auto games, you can take on these taxi missions. When you get into a taxi, you can pick up a person, and they will tell you where they want to go, and you can drop them off, and you get some money. And then once you've done, like, 100 of those, it gives you, depending on the game, some benefit. Like, all of your taxis get the ability to, like, jump hydraulically or some shit, or they get, like, you know, nitrous installed in them or whatever. And doing all the taxi missions was sort of what taught me to navigate in that game. So I kind of made my own tutorial as far as driving, because you know, being able to listen to the radio in game is cool.
Right.
This is, like, entertaining while you're just driving around.
Yeah, and
you get used to it.
I might pick it up. It's just it's amazing how little I play of any video game.
Yeah,
like, it was unusual for me to play as far through God of War as I did. So it's
really,
just like,
did you play that recently?
Yeah, I borrowed God of War 2 from Riff when Josiah was away, and I
still have not played the second one.
It's a lot of fun, but. And just kind of, I don't have 2 or 3 hours out of a day to play video games. I'm
I feel
busy,
like, God,
man.
God of War I enjoyed, but I would rather watch someone play it than play it.
Most of the time, I think that those two things are the same thing. There are enough cinematics and automated actions in there that you really just make suggestions, which I kind of enjoyed. It's just, he can do all this badass stuff with his swords just because I keep banging on these two buttons. I don't know why, but that was kind of, I found that satisfying.
The moves pointed out, we were also talking about Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, and you said, the move says, Chrono Cross was horrible, absolute garbage, /nonsense, /crap. Oh. Glowing endorsement. Yeah. I played into it a little while and didn't like it so much. It seemed less like Chrono Trigger and more like another Final Fantasy game, and boy, do I not like me some Final Fantasy.
Right.
A few people pointing out that cow tipping does actually happen, or at least attempts to. Blick says, the cow doesn't necessarily go down and gets pissed off. Been there, done that. Really peeved 1,000-pound animal equals bad.
Yeah, that was the thing that I don't think people think about when they think about cow tipping, is that cows weigh, like, as much as a small car. And tipping a small car over is not that easy either, unless you're driving it and making really tight turns.
I mean, if a small car was up on its side, it would be significantly easier to tip over than if it's on all four wheels, right?
Right.
Cows don't... They aren't, like, four times as wide as they are tall. Neither are cars, but...
They have a narrower wheelbase.
Just saying, yeah.
Hoof base.
They have a narrower wheelbase than cars have hoof bases, yeah.
Thinking about video games, though, I will actually go out and hit some brick-and-mortar stores tomorrow and try to get Super Mario Galaxy, which I think is going to be futile, and I'm going to have to get it online. But
oh, really? I didn't even know it was coming out. I
forgot to pre-order it. Yeah, and it comes out tomorrow.
Huh. I feel like that's the kind of thing that they're going to have a billion copies of, no matter where you go. Maybe not in the Lando Lakes.
Yeah.
Are you in the Lando Lakes?
Yeah, and it kind of
pissed
me off.
Have you folded up the thing to make it look like her boobs are hanging out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Land O'Lakes butter is the kind of butter that we've used since time immemorial, and looking for it at the local grocery store was profoundly frustrating. They had, like, a couple boxes kind of on the side of one display. So sitting there looking at this aisle full of butter going, we are in the land of goddamn lakes. Why can't
Gosh
I get any Lanzo Lakes? we say God damned in this house.
I say God damned in this house.
But only to the pusher man.
The moves also says that, have you ever thought about making teleportitis only accessible areas, like the third story of Spooky Raven Manor, etc.? It's a neat idea. It's, I don't know. We have this weird sort of problem, right, where it's gotten to the point where everything is so complicated that it takes us a significant amount of time to develop content. And so, you know, when we develop content, we want as many people as possible to see it.
Right.
And so, something that, I mean, which is not to say that I'm against that kind of thing, because I think it is a cool idea. Right? But, like zones with limited accessibility, it frees us up to do a lot of cool stuff. You know, like the ducks, like the duct tape thing, you know, that's fun, and it keeps people playing the game, and it entertains people, because they can only do a certain amount of it per day. Right? You know, so limited access zones allow us to do things that we couldn't do in a regular zone on account of they would get the shit farmed out of them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, that the cows, or the cow, the duck stuff, there's just the word cow all over the screen. The duck stuff, you know, it reuses some content that was there. And Scully gets all happy when we talk about the duck content, because that was really fun for him to write.
Oh, yeah.
3 days of nothing but ducks.
Just hit and miss messages. Like, what does a frozen duck do? I'm amazed at how long it takes to write monsters, honestly.
It took
less time for me to write all of the Bad Moon adventures than it took me to write six of those new pirates.
I mean, I wonder how much of it is you sort of knowing the quality of stuff that you can come up with, and so not being as willing to put, like, fluff content in as attack messages.
It's less that and more, like, I want to make them at least a little bit interesting, but more just, if you're writing an adventure from scratch, even if it has a goal that you have to get to at the end, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But there are only so many things that are funny and make sense for the sassy pirate to do, you know.
Right. I guess it's a lot. It's sort of a lot easier to get where you're going in a paragraph than it is in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the goal, the quantity has a lot more to do with the quality. Progress, you listeners will be pleased to know is being made swimmingly on the pirate revamp.
We continue apace.
We Riff and I, and I'll have to discuss this with you offline. Riff and I, we think that we've come up with a way to roll that out in the context of, like, a global event that people are so fond of.
Ah, nice.
So people are so fond of global events. It ties in really nicely with something that he was wanting to do with the Nemesis quest, and so we've figured out a way to get a bunch of things done at once. So that'll be fun.
Oh, that's always handy.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should talk to you about that, actually, because the more involved in it you get, the more there will be to it textually. Mm. So that'll be good.
And thinking of textually and global events, I gotta start working on Crimbo too.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, Crimbo.
After the pirate stuff, though, there should only be, like, here and there things for you to work on. There's not going to be another big content dump like this for a little while. Yeah, let's see.
Walla Walla 23 proposes making happiness do more damage against the goth giant. Which kind of makes sense.
That's funny.
You know, incorporate plus damage against sad monsters and figure out how many monsters are sad. Yeah.
I can only think of the goth giant and the bunny. He's sad because you killed his family.
Mm.
Low-tech says, any thoughts on an optional quest using a leveled-up, reassembled Blackbird? Would be a challenge, considering the thing is worthless and only available for such a short time. I say this, and somebody will probably come up with examples that immediately prove me wrong, but I'm a little reluctant to put in a quest that you can knock yourself out of the running for in normal play. The the Time Rift is one such thing. And I mean, I guess in an Ascension context, there's no such thing as permanently, you know, making yourself ineligible for a quest, but I don't know. The Blackbird was a can of worms, kind of. Yeah. It's like the only time you ever lose a familiar.
Maybe we should just make it so you lose your familiars more often.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, that's good. That could be one of the Boner Dagon special attacks. It just kills your familiar.
If it's a Mr. Store familiar, you're just prompted to feed another Mr. Accessory to the Boner Dagon to get him to barf it back up.
Oh, yeah. You have to buy a Mr. Ipecac?
Yep.
Mystery Peacock. LOTE says, hey, could we get some specific or some monster-specific killing messages? That'd be fun. Yeah, I've thought about, you know, making it... Because sometimes there are jokes that we think of that apply at the end of a fight, but yeah, I don't know. Something that I think I would do if I had it to do over again is rather than having the, like, fights versus non-combats thing, I think what I would do if we ever make another game that's like KOL, if we ever make a game that's just, you know, the browser-based, you know, you have a certain number of turns to fight monsters in zones kind of RPG, I think that what I would do is make it so the non-combats are things that periodically happen after you fight a monster and are part of that turn rather than something that happens to you instead of fighting a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we won't have this, you know, it's like we really enjoy writing the non-combats because, you know, they're we can just sort of script exactly what's happening to your character narratively, you know, as opposed to having this sort of, like, you know, procedurally generated story of the fight that you're having with the monster. And, it'd be nice to be able to put in just as many dumb non-combats as we wanted without having to worry about people saying, like, oh, well, you know, this zone is kind of useless because all there is these dumb non-combats that don't give you anything worthwhile.
Hmm.
So, I mean, and that way, you know, there could be conditionals on the non-combats that were like, well, okay, this one only comes up if you've defeated a certain monster with a certain weapon equipped or whatever. And then, you know, there could be all kinds of interesting logic just built into when the non-combats come up, so if we thought of a joke like that, we could put it in there, and, you know, it's like, oh, this joke also gives you some bonus experience. Like, you know, oh, darn, I keep getting this bonus experience at the end of every fifth fight. Mm-hmm. This sucks. You know, nobody's going to say that.
Yeah.
They'll figure out a way to complain about it, to be sure, but...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you could still do... I don't know. I mean, as much as I enjoy thematically the sort of, like, plus non-combat, minus non-combat things, just the whole, like, you know, being loud versus being sneaky kind of thing. Like, I don't really know how... It's hard to narratively conceive of an interesting way that you would modify the chances of a non-combat like that happening. I mean, I guess things that, you know, you could have a stat that was, like, how attentive you were, or how good you were at noticing things or whatever, that would make it more likely that some positive post-combat event would happen.
But that's for another game.
Indeed. Few people asking for Krylar asking if a maiden wig could zap into a frilly skirt, and the Pretender asking if tap shoes could be zappable into top hats. What about bed knobs being zappable into broomsticks? Did you ever read any of those?
Or bed knobs and broomsticks?
Was it a movie?
I saw the movie.
Yeah. Is it a movie? I don't even know what it is. I just heard about it, and I remember somebody a long time ago being surprised that I wasn't aware of it.
It's kind of a cool movie, actually.
Is it?
One of the older Disney movies with Angela Lansbury as a witch.
I see. It is just...
Like witches.
It is just a movie.
Helping win World War II by reanimating... or animating, I guess, suits of armor and whatnot. It's fun.
Hot Stuff insists that Angela Lansbury was attractive when she was younger.
That is true.
Is it true?
Yes.
I can never trust him because he's kind of a homo.
Yeah. No, she was pretty hot. Naked Juice says they were two books. I hope one called Bedknobs and one called Broomsticks.
I see. So I just did a Google image search for LNASBURY, and it came up with a single image result, which is a rattlesnake labeled Colonel Trouble. so, not sure what the fuck.
I do kind of wonder sometimes how Google how images get meta tagged. It seems like you. There is no search that won't give you nudity on the first page, too. Like,
well, if you turn the show me nudity first option on, which I always do,
yeah,
I'm sure
you
also do. God, how the hell is it that I managed to not... Somehow, in the entire time that I've had this computer, I have not turned off safe search. What is the matter with me?
I don't know. Did you give up porn for Lent?
Is it Lent?
Yeah. No. I meant, like, a while ago.
I see.
Lent is between Mardi Gras and
Easter. Between what?
Mardi Gras and Easter.
Mardi Gras and Easter, right. Yeah. And Easter's in April sometime.
Yeah, it's another one of those holidays that, you know, because it's a pagan fertility rite at its base, it kind of takes place at a different time of year.
It's based on a full moon or something, right? Like,
yeah,
it's 40 days after something that's based on a full moon.
Yeah,
it seems like that would really bother people if they thought about it. Which I guess more than anything just points out the extent to which people don't really think about things.
Yeah, well, just the fact that, you know, eggs are for fertility and rabbits are for having sex, and that's why you have rabbits and eggs on the Easter holiday, because it's a fertility rite.
I usually eat ham instead of rabbits and eggs. Did you eat any rabbit while you were in France?
Yeah. God, that was tasty.
I know.
Apparently I had some good rabbit. You might have had some bad rabbit. I don't know.
I had some good rabbit. I said I know.
No.
I ate rabbit growing up a lot because there was a period of time every year when you could hunt rabbits, and so, you know, the older uncles in my family would take a break from their molestering and go kill some bunnies. So I was not nearly as reluctant to try the rabbit as my wife. I think my mom had some when we were out there with her too. But it was good. It's like they prepare it, you know, you tend to find it prepared like the good food, you know, like it's more of a delicacy kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I had some jackrabbit growing up, but tasted completely different than whatever rabbit they were serving. Yeah, so apparently there's a Western date for Easter and an Orthodox date for Easter. They're based on the Julian calendar, the Orthodox dates. And, how Easter date is determined.
I remember looking this up the last couple Easters when we were trying to figure out when to do the KOL thing.
Right. Easter Sunday is the Sunday following the Paschal full moon date for the year. Yeah, that sounds familiar. What the hell? But,
like, the Orthodox Easter is something that nobody, like, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or something?
Yeah. No, like, Greek Orthodox, I would imagine.
I see.
Orthodoxness. But it's March 23rd next year, just so everybody knows. March 23rd.
Hey Jacobs, though, says that he grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin, and it is true that cows do not sleep standing up. Creamy Aversa. Well, how about some places that are the converse of that trend? I mean, I feel like every RPG also has places that are the converse of that trend, you know, like the decidedly unidyllic flaming volcano castle filled with decidedly unplacid, you know, all the rabbits and stuff in that castle. They're very angry.
Mm-hmm. We do have a zone that's full of idyllic little rabbits that you kill.
That's true.
So, hey.
Armax says, at what threshold of drunk does the hiccuping kick in? I do not remember. Let's search through the source. Greater than 10. So 10 beers is when you start hiccuping. Frankenbeans points out there's a bug in general where you can get more than one set of shiny pebbles if you go back to the noob cave, which I keep saying I should fix that, and I keep being should fix that, and then I keep not fixing it.
Is that horribly exploitable? Are shiny pebbles really useful?
No, they're not at all.
Okay.
I'm not really feeling it on the Angela Lansbury here. I mean, she's not unattractive. I mean, one thing you can say about her when she was, you know, in her 20s is that she was definitely not in her 70s, but... yeah, I don't know. What about Bea Arthur? Was Bea Arthur hot when she was younger?
No. Bea Arthur kind of
was
always...
Was Bea Arthur ever younger?
Masculine.
The second thing was a naked picture of Bea Arthur, but it's a painting.
Wow. So at least it's not a Photoshop, because it would kind of disturb me to think that somebody was spending their time making fake nudes of Bea Arthur to serve the Bea Arthur having the hots for market.
Yeah, there are a lot of paintings of Bea Arthur and her boobs. I say that there are three that I've seen so far, but I haven't looked that far. Maybe it's this whole like style of art. It's an entire movement that we were unaware of.
I hope that it didn't expand to the rest of the cast of Golden Girls, unless Betty White was involved, because Betty White's a looker.
Was it Estelle Getty was the slut?
No, Rue McClanahan was the slut.
Rue McClanahan was the slut.
I know that only because I had got Hollywood After Dark, the film crew version of it, and it has Rue McClanahan as a stripper.
Really?
Yeah, it's an old movie when she was in her 20s.
See her boobs?
Sadly, no.
Rue McClanahan nude. He typed into Google, knowing full well that he would regret it. Those women are all still alive, except for the oldest one, right?
I don't know if Estelle Getty ever died, or ever will die. I kind of like to think that she will live on in the smile of every child. Every time somebody watches Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, I believe she gets another year added to her life. Which means that she probably died years ago. No,
she has no date of death.
She's fucking 84. Well, I guess that's not very old. Jesus. Did she look like that when she was 12? What?
I like the Golden Girls.
Yeah, it was alright.
Although, so I think she was made up to look much older than she actually was for the show, right?
Yeah, although in movies that came out in the mid-90s, she looked like she would die if you poked her. I don't know.
Yeah, Bea Arthur is actually older than Estelle Getty, and Estelle Getty played her mom.
Hmm. And she's just a really good actress. She's actually only 20.
Weird. Anyway, this is 120 minutes of
talking about the Golden Girls of all the random
Golden Girls. It's better than 120 minutes of reminiscing about fucking the Golden Girls.
Yeah. Which is next week's show.
Yeah.
Lord Derby.
AgriJag619 says, in response to your question a few shows ago, I prefer to not know about big updates. That way, when they hit, my reaction is awesome rather than finally.
I don't know how to hit the middle ground there. Because I would almost rather not have people speculate on what little information we give them, because it seems like I was looking at that holidays thread in the forums, and people are already speculating what, like, Dia de los Muertos Borrachos is going to entail, and what they're speculating is 10 times more elaborate than what we have planned. So
yeah.
It seems like built-in disappointment, almost.
They should listen to Smoot.
Yeah. It lower expectations. But, so there's that. You know, if we don't leak enough information, people get disappointed at the end thing. But if we leak a lot of information about it, then people are just waiting for us to roll it out. And you know. I don't know, would it be worse hearing people say, when are you going to roll out some new content, for fuck's sake, or when are you going to roll out the pirate stuff, for fuck's sake?
I don't know. I mean, you know, one sort of, I guess, disadvantage, if we were trying to be secretive, is this whole, like, sort of radio show thing, where we just talk pretty frankly about what's going on.
Yeah.
In our heads, whether it's relevant to the game or not. But more often than not, it is, you know. And,
yeah.
I guess that, you know, the right thing to do would be what we did there for a while, which was, like, big projects which become a Tuesday update when they get done, and little updates in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, towards the end, the Tuesday updates thing was conceived as a way to get to create deadlines where there were no deadlines, because we, at least I, work a lot better with deadlines than without them. People wonder why. I mean, people, you know, people remember the like, sort of disaster recovery global event content very fondly.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a shitload of work done in a really small amount of time whenever something like that happens. But I feel like, in those cases, it's because we are very agitated about something that we can't actually do anything about quickly, so we get into that disaster recovery mode, but there's really nothing like that we can work on that will make the situation better, so we think, well, we should just do a bunch of work to make this up to all the people that we screwed over when we committed whatever grievous error we committed.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is on the whole deadline thing. I mean, theoretically, the way that most development gets done is that there is somebody up above all of us who decides when things have to get done by, right? And then there is a deadline that means something. But, like, you know, it's a matter of, like, we understand that if we fabricate deadlines for ourselves, that those deadlines don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am enjoying work. I'm just slowly working on the pirate stuff, but I'm not really, you know, there aren't the kind of updates that keep things, like, sort of vibrant and enjoyable for the people who want to log on and see something new.
Yeah.
You know?
And it is enjoyable for me to, like, when we throw in something new and get feedback on it, then that can kind of energize us to work on the longer range stuff. So, I don't know. It's tricky. I'm enjoying what little work I've been able to sandwich in between refinishing wood and painting walls.
Oh yeah.
But,
what are you painting on the walls?
And just solid swatches of color.
I see.
But yeah, hopefully this week we'll finally like all of the major time suck projects are done, so I can divide the day up like I had always planned on dividing it.
Right. You'll be getting a good amount of work done, though.
I'm glad you think so, and you're going to be amazed at the amount of work.
No, you slacker. get the lead out of
the pencil.
The work pipe that's clogged with lead. Dr. Risen says, hey, where do you guys get your absinthe from? La Fay Absinthe Paris. You have to order it on the internet. And then asks if there will ever be scaling equipment. He thinks that would be cool.
I have an idea of something like that, that would, like a weapon that didn't have particularly exciting enchantments, but would always be more base powerful than any other equipment you could equip at that level.
Yeah.
At any level, you know. But
I mean, the trouble with that is that in general, the enchantments on equipment are worth so much more in terms of gameplay than the power of the equipment, which I think that that's just kind of the truth in any RPG that has enchantments on equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know how much everybody loves it when I bring my World of Warcraft experience to bear on talking about KOL, but, right. Playing as a casting class, it's like, I will sometimes wear a piece of armor that is 1/10 the power of a piece of armor that I could wear in a particular slot because it increases my spell damage. And, if I actually get hit by something with a stick, that means that I'm doing a bad job of killing them fast enough that they can't hit me,
Yeah.
But, and I feel like, I don't know. I feel like especially at the high end, KOL is kind of like that because it's like, I could be totally wrong, though, and I probably am. I don't know anything about this game.
Well, it's true. I was just thinking of, I was suiting up for a fight today, and I wasn't really looking at the power of items. I was looking at the enchantments. It's something that's 150 power versus something that's 200 power. It really doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, scaling equipment, I'm not sure. I see the point. Okay, so there are a couple of people now who are reporting typos because the gnomes don't use a G before every N. And the gnomes never have used a G before every N.
Yeah.
My explanation is that linguists are still trying to figure out what triggers that, and that the G before the N seems to depend on the gender and social status of each speaker and the phase of the moons. So.
Right.
It's mutable.
Let's see. Lord Derby says, I got my KOL Con 4 shirt in the mail yesterday. I wore it while donating blood, and it was totally awesome.
I'll bet. Yeah, apparently people are getting their calendars now, too, which is groovy.
Yeah, I think that the supply chain issues have finally gotten worked out for the t-shirts. That was super frustrating. I felt bad for Zly having to deal with those stoners.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the new place is actually cheaper also, although they don't fold the shirts for us, so that means a lot of time spent folding shirts.
That is kind of a gigantic pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Is there some
Zero Place would fold them for like 10 cents a piece, which was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We should do what the old place does and just hire a bunch of old Mexican women to fold shirts.
Yeah.
We will give you 10 cents per shirt.
Work faster. Yeah, that's one thing that I really hope we can do with Kingdom of Loathing is set up a sweatshop.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, I'd kind of wanted to do that anyway, but if we can set up a sweatshop that actually accomplishes something, that would be great.
Yeah.
Instead of just having a bunch of people busily working in unsanitary and dangerous conditions for nothing.
Yeah.
No just, end product.
Have one people assembling something, and then the next person in line disassembles it, and then this person assembles it.
This is a really impressive operation. What's it for? What?
Just really like the idea of a sweatshop. Yeah. We're not exploiting the workers to accomplish something. We're just exploiting them on principle. Lord Poopy Pants says, I finally ascended for the first time since NS13 and have had time to enjoy the rich content in the early levels of the game. Thanks a lot for the little things you guys add. Ah, you're welcome, Lord Poopy Pants.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for having an awesome name. And Naked Jew asks if we're excited about the new Beowulf movie. Are you excited about the new Beowulf movie?
I'm excited as hell about the new Beowulf movie. Yeah, it's... I'm not excited about the fact that it's done in the same style as Monster House and Polar Express.
I've yet to see either of those, but I feel like it's got that whole Uncanny Valley thing going on.
It kind of does. It looks like they've made it a little better for this one, but I am excited that it's directed by Roger Avery, who was kind of half of what made Pulp Fiction what it was, and the script is by Neil Gaiman.
Right.
And, you know, I have a gay on for Neil Gaiman. So, I don't know. I think it will turn out being worth seeing, especially in IMAX 3D. It'd be awesome.
How does IMAX 3D work? Is it those polarized, like, gray glasses like Captain EO?
I think so. Although it works better than... IMAX 3D and whatever 3D Disney's using now, it's kind of the first 3D that I'm able to reliably see.
Huh.
And not get a headache, because one of my eyes is kind of lazy.
Is it your left eye? Because you do look kind of Israeli.
No. I forget which eye it is, but there are some pictures of me that look like I'm completely
you
cock-eyed.
You look like
cock-eyed Mark is a lot Feltman. Like being pie-eyed, only less pleasant.
Faran says, last week you mentioned adding missing shows to the archive if you got a hold of them, and if you did do this, could you add new or some other indication next to them? It's easy to check for new shows at the top of the page, but adding others in down the list would mean comparing the entire archive to shows already downloaded. Well, I mean, the problem with that is that those lists are generated entirely procedurally. If I wanted to write myself like a database backend for the radio archive, then I could, you know, mark shows new or whatever, but I don't really want to do that.
Right.
The better solution, I think, is for me to just stay on top of downloading, or stay on top of uploading the shows. And I feel like with some help from someone else, I could do that. Somebody had said that the shows are usually in the podcast like a half hour after they air. So if if somebody 35 minutes after we're off the air would post a link in the appropriate forum thread to an MP3 of the show, then I would gladly download it and then re-upload it that same night. Ferrand also asks if I've ever tried any of the Shining Force games. I bought a Shining Force game for the PS2 because it looked like the kind of gauntlet game that I like. And the thing that struck me about the game is that I played for like 45 minutes just diving into giant groups of monsters and hacking away at them. And at no point did I get below, like, 99% of my hit points. Like, it seemed like it wasn't so much... I mean, you know, maybe the difficulty curve is just really shallow, but it seemed like it wasn't so much a game as just a chore, you know, just a set of tasks that you had to perform to get the next cutscene. And you know how much I like games like that.
Absolutely.
It was Shining Force Neo that I played, though. I wonder if I didn't realize that it was part of a series. I just thought that it was an inexplicably named
product from Japan. Say it ain't so. Full Metal Alchemist. You know, even the people who are fans of Full Metal Alchemist have not been able to explain to me satisfactorily why it's called Full Metal Alchemist.
I mean, there are alchemists in it, and alchemy.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know. My wife claims to like Full Metal Alchemist. I've watched it a couple times, and I feel like it would be okay if it weren't for the voice acting.
Hmm.
But
you seem to have that problem with a lot of anime.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is I think that the information density is packed into a lot less time in Japanese, and so when you dub an anime, you have to talk a lot faster in English.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always has this weird sort of like flat, forced quality to it. But I don't know that Fullmetal Alchemist is dubbed.
I don't know. I think the dubbing, what they did by necessity back in the day, has kind of become the way that you do it. Like, there's no reason that all female anime characters have to have really shrill, annoying voices anymore. You know, maybe like the first house that started doing dubbing could only find women with shrill and pleasant voices to dub. I don't know.
Oh, I see. Shining Force Neo was, in fact, a departure from the series in that it was not a turn-based strategy game.
Hmm. I still don't know.
Anyway, Shining Force was recommended to me as somebody who liked Fire Emblem except for specific aspects of gameplay by Ferrand. Fenrir8806 says, does the Mobile Armor Sweat Lodge count towards the kills needed to get the medals from the Hippie versus Rebel War? Yeah, it does. Unless there is a bug, it does. And I feel like if there was a bug, somebody reported it. Bizcut asks why there's no Bad Moon main leaderboard. There are only the class boards. Well, because we thought that the sort of day count disparity class for class would have been different enough that the main board would have just been identical to one of the class boards. As it turns out, that may or may not be the case. I haven't actually looked at the Bad Moon leaderboards lately. Let's see. 13, 12, 10. Yeah, see, well, Disco Bandits and Accordion Thieves would currently, like, the Bad Moon main leaderboard would be identical to the Disco Bandit leaderboard at this point, except there would be one person from the Accordion Thief board stuck in there, and maybe one from the Postomancer board. So, yeah. Wouldn't really be any additional information, so I think we were right.
Hmm.
Booyah!
It's kind of weird to hear somebody ask for less detail on the leaderboard. I guess they just wanted that in addition, too.
And they wanted an addition, yeah.
Jockin says, if a player in chat is in chat when clicking the Say Guy Made of Bees option, it should make them say Guy Made of Bees in chat. Yeah, and I have to agree with that.
You think?
Yeah, just clicking that button pops that into chat and hits enter. Because that's funny.
Gleam says, can we get some kind of notification when we've been whitelisted to a clan? Also, can we have an option to turn that notification off?
Well, anything we add like that, we now know we have to have an option to turn it off.
Right. Istanbul points out in the baseball bat's miss message, it says that it lets out a squeak, but I'm unfazed. P-H-A-S-E-D.
I saw that and fixed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He continues to say if the smart skeleton is basically a brainless automaton of evil only with a brain, why do I need to put a brain into a skull to make him do stuff for me? Because you kill him and knock the brain out of the skull, and sometimes you forget to pick the brain back up.
Smoking Tongue says, why isn't the rib of the boner Dagon a mysticality weapon? I don't exactly know where this whole mysticality weapon thing came from, because I don't remember deciding that that's how it should be, and I don't really like that that exists as a concept. There are not, as far as I know, weapons that use mysticality to hit. And that is the only reason that you shouldn't be able to equip, you know, like, a utensil and a regular weapon in your offhand. Like, in my mind, weapons that have mysticality requirements to equip are still just things that you hit stuff with. You know, unless it was like, you know, a ranged weapon that had a mysticality requirement, which I think is actually impossible given the current code. But, you know, some kind of wand or whatever. So, yeah, I don't... The better question is not why isn't the rib of the Boner Dagon a mysticality weapon as so much as why is anything... Why does the concept of a mysticality weapon exist? And I think that might have been just xenophobe misinterpreting something that I said at some point. Or just some vagary of the code rather than of the design. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Disky says, the fourth song effects from the Brimstone Beret and Plexiglass Pendant don't stack to allow five Accordion Thief buffs at once, do they? No, they do not. Death by Pie says, I may be stuck in the past because the KOL main page is copyright 2006. If so, I will look forward to hearing your reply in 1 year. Lol. Ah. Let's see. Whoa, what the hell?
Well, Twixter Nethers asks, any news on the calendars for the winners? I haven't seen mine yet. Have they been sent out? They have not, and that's entirely not Slania's fault. I just tonight sent her the list of the 12 winners with their addresses and names. So, yeah, ever since I packed my computer, I went, oh shit, I just packed that computer without sending Aaron that list of names that's on there. And then I unpacked my computer, and every day, kind of at the end of the day, I've been going, oh shit, I really need to send Aaron that list of names and addresses so she can send out the calendars. But I sent it to her, and she should be sending them out directly. You'll definitely get them before they become relevant.
Right. Right, right. Laren says, music question for Scully. Where, oh, where are you finding the mashups you've been playing during breaks? Normally I can't stand mashups, but the ones you play are 100% golden. See, I personally have the opposite opinion. Like, normally I like the mashups that actually filter up to the point where I hear them, but the ones I've heard you play lately are kind of meh.
See, I like the ones that... my main criteria are that I have to know all of the songs that are being mashed up, otherwise it kind of doesn't make any sense. And that they
right, which is probably the problem that I have with what you've been playing lately.
Well, also, though, that they should include audio or a cappella and music from both songs. Because if it's just one song's music set to another song's vocal, that's not as much fun.
Wait, really? I mean, I just feel like sort of, in my mind, the pinnacle of the mashup is the Smells Like Teen Spirit Bootylicious one.
Yeah, but that still falls within my parameters, though, because it has a little bit of Kurt Cobain in there.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, just a little bit. The hello, hello, hello.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I like to just have a little bit of it. Otherwise, it seems too easy. But usually I get them by going to mashuptown.com and seeing what they have posted, and then just downloading, and then going to DJ's sites if they've posted one on there and I really enjoy it, and downloading their other stuff. DJ Earworm is really good. Norwegian Recycling's pretty damn good.
You know who was really good was KOL's own Sexy Mama until she got into some legal issues with the record companies.
Wasn't she playing them on broadcast radio?
She had given one to some friend of hers who then played it on broadcast radio, I think, with what happened. But yeah, her Take on Me and then whatever that Jay-Z song whose name that I don't know, If You're Feeling Like a Pimp, Nigga, Come On, Brush Your Shoulders Off.
Right.
Yes, that was a good mashup.
I found that a lot of rap songs that I hate are vastly improved just by having the background changed.
Oh,
like
yeah?
The 99 Problems mashed up with Paradise City is awesome. And
I don't know that I've heard that. I like the original 99 Problems a lot.
Huh? You should.
I really like the lyrics, and so it kind of doesn't. The one from the Grey album too was pretty good. Just that whole like Jay-Z Beatles. mashup campaign. Fred Levi says, the Check Me Out channel went live. You should check it out. It's really cool. Some people are really creative with their me's.
So it's like a bigger version of the Me Parade? Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I did download Super Mario Bros. 3, and then remembered that I like Super Mario World better than Super Mario Bros. 3, but, yeah.
Can you get Super Mario World for the virtual console?
I don't think so yet. Hmm. I mean, the nice thing about playing 8-bit games
like
on
a Super Demo World, the ROM hack that's just like, you know, sort of another Super Mario World, mm-hmm. and so fucking hard.
Hmm.
Like, I consider myself fairly good at Super Mario World, and this required a lot of techniques that I have yet to master.
Hmm.
I've been playing the shit out of Symphony of the Night on the PSP.
Castlevania, meh.
Good old Castlevania. Symphony of the Night is just seriously... There is a lot more to it than I was even aware of until just recently. I started... Because I was like, you know, I know that there's some, like, uber-powerful sword that I'm supposed to be farming something to get. I don't remember what it is. So I looked it up, and I discovered that, like, almost all of the weapons in the game have two, like... individualized special attacks that you can do with them by doing like a Hadouken with them and then doing the what's that?
The jumping and spinning in a circle move?
No. It's just I was trying to think of like what some Mortal Kombat move that's like back forward and punch.
Hmm.
I don't remember. It could be that the Raiden fly across the screen thing was like tapping forward twice, and back punch was Scorpion's spear throw, and Belle Biv DeVoe's cheese grater swat.
Yeah, what?
Scorpions and Belle Biv DeVoe are just inexorably intertwined in my consciousness.
Why?
Because of some promotion that Taco Bell had when we were in high school, where their cups were themed after different bands, and there was just some jingle in which the words Scorpions, Belle Biv DeVoe occurred.
Huh.
And I don't think that I had ever heard of Belle Biv DeVoe before that.
Hmm.
And so like that phrase, I wish that it would stop. Because my house is infested with scorpions, and every time I see one, I think about Belle Biv DeVoe.
I
haven't actually seen it. I think it's gotten too cold for the scorpions.
Belle Biv DeVoe songs. It's gotten cold enough that the plague of ladybugs has finally subsided.
Yeah, that's a somewhat less sinister thing to be plagued with.
It was all right. You know, like I was working outside because it was nice, and just like, oh, cute, a ladybug. Oh, cute, four ladybugs. And then when I went back into the house, like, oh my god, 20 ladybugs.
Huh.
And I kept telling them to fly away home, but they wouldn't.
Did I ever tell you about that time that I climbed Thumb Butte and the top of it was just an unbroken carpet of ladybugs?
No.
Millions and millions of ladybugs. Like, it was seriously, every place that was in the shade was just red. I went up there and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with my eyes? The shade is red. And then I realized it was because every shady spot was just this unbroken carpet of ladybugs. Hmm. And then I went up there again a couple days later and they were all gone. So I don't know if it was just some weird, like, ladybugs all lay eggs at the same time and then they all hatch in the same place until they go off to make their fortunes in different directions or what.
It was probably the ladybug picnic.
It could have been.
Did you count them and just counting them in sets of 12?
No. I wish I knew that song so that I could...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, ladybug 12, ladybug picnic. There's probably a whole description of the picnic, but that's all I know. Cheese152 says, when using the V for Vivala mask against... guy with a pitchfork and his wife, it says they coughs and sputters.
Mm.
It seems to be an error that happens whenever we have a combat item to go into the game. And Drunken Frog says the red V in chat breaks links, which I
noticed earlier. Yeah, you know, some of the people in... Yeah, let's see. So singularizing the S's on cough and sputter. Okay. That thing should be fixed. Yeah, there are these periodic, like, nerd out regular expression offs in dev trying to fix that link breaking thing. It'll happen. It hasn't been exactly a priority, but I should decree from on high that needs to get fixed so that some earnest effort gets put into it.
Do you want to take a musical break?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, we'll see you in about 10 minutes.
Look at all the people in the window. I'm checking out the people in the window. I was uncomfortable. Now I'm uncomfortable. All the trouble lying down. But what I thought it was a window. It was a catalog of men and women, man, the window, window, window. Look at all the people in the window. I'm checking out the people in the window. I was uncomfortable, and I'm uncomfortable. So lying down when I thought it was a wall.
Eyes are closed. I can't see why I miss you so, so hot, child. When the ship runs out of ocean and the vessel runs aground, lands where we know the boat is found. Now there's nothing unexpected but the water giving out. Land's not a word we have to shout, but there's something beside the shoreline, moving across the beachhead, coming up from the shipwreck, making as if to say, women and men. Women and men across the ocean, they now begin to pour out from the boat and up the shore. Two by two, they enter the jungle, and soon they number more. Three by three, as well as four by four. Soon the stream of people gets wider, then it becomes a river. River becomes an ocean, carrying ships up there. Women and men.
And it felt like a trillion feet. I was looking for a friend
at
the end of the line, and it took me till the end of time. I was all out of luck,
like a duck
that died. I was all out of juice,
like a moose
denied. I was all out of money, like a bunny that's broke. I was all out of work, like a jerk who's a joke. And I was out of ideas, like I is. I was out
of ideas.
I once had a dream
of
a gleam in my eye, and I'll have it till the day I die. I had a thought bubble
of
trouble and strife, and I'll have it for the rest of my life. I was all out of luck,
like a duck
that died. I was all out of juice,
like a moose
denied. I was all out of money, like a bunny that's broke. I was all out of work, like a jerk who's a joke. And I was out of ideas, like I is. I was out
of ideas, of ideas.
Thank you.
Continuing my being caught off guard by songs ending.
But.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Oh yeah?
Holy shit, we're back.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Orly? Yarly.
I saw this thing that it was linked to on this MMO blog that I read that was like, it was instead of lolcats, it was lol Cthulhu.
Right.
And there was a lot of O-R apostrophe L-Y-E-H.
Right.
With the, you know, tentacle owl.
I was sad
some of them were funny.
That we didn't get to fly into Orly Airport when we went to France.
Oh.
Yeah.
I still like the lolcat version of J. Alfred Prufrock that I linked in the dev the other day.
Yeah, that was entertaining, though. I still prefer Lore Schoberg's thing that he did with poems as limericks.
Yeah. Did he do a Prufrock?
No, he didn't. But also the... what was it? Modern Humorist, I think, did a thing where they anagrammed the name of the poet to come up with the title of the poem and then wrote it in that style.
Yeah.
T.S. Eliot's was Toilets.
Right, right.
In the Prufrockian style. That is one of my favorite poems. In the room, the women come and go, talking of Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Raphael.
Donatello's too busy fixing a computer.
Yep.
To talk to any ladies.
Because Leonardo leads and Donatello does machines.
Right. He doesn't need women. He does machines.
Right. Yeah. And
he invented the fleshlight.
I've been impressed with Jezzerfly's ability to remember where everything is in our house and in all of the boxes that are still packed.
Oh, yeah.
So I can just ask her where a random something is that I haven't seen in a month, and she'll know exactly where it is. And I figured out the part of her brain that stores that information is the part in my brain that is full of, like, for example, all of the lyrics to the Ninja Turtles cartoon theme song.
Right.
So she doesn't know any of those things, but she knows where the screwdrivers are.
I see.
Naked Jew wants you to drop a link to the Prufrock lolcat thing in radio, if you could.
Yeah. I have no idea where I found that. Oh, wait, I found it on Kill 10 Rats, and I'm going to go back to Kill 10 Rats and find that link again.
And while you do that... Man... Every week. Sala Protogasm asks, how do I listen in? I hear it's a great show. Yep. Parafert says, the Store of Loathing description of the vicious Naga shirt says, when you wear the shirt, everyone will be afraid of you. In fact, three different women have told me the shirt is really cute, and children hardly ever cringe in fear. I think my shirt is defective. So, women are telling you have a cute shirt. And that to you is defective? I mean, it is funny though, there are times when I'll be wearing the Naga shirt and walk into a dark bathroom with a big mirror and kind of scare the crap out of myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you walking into dark bathrooms? Oh, at your house?
In an unfamiliar bathroom where you don't know where the light switch is. I wear that shirt a lot.
I see. I never wear KOL shirts.
I hardly have any other... I mean, I have a lot of button-up shirts, but none of them are ironed, and all of them need to be, so it's pretty much T-shirt.
See, really, I've developed a collection of button-up shirts that don't need to be ironed.
Oh, would that I could find those.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you just buy all of the cool-looking button-up shirts you can find from the Salvation Army, and then return the ones that have to be ironed. This is pretty much how my collection was developed. Either that or, like, girls buying shirts for me, and every girl that ever liked me enough to buy a shirt for me knew that I wasn't going to fucking iron, and they didn't want to do it for me.
I suppose...
So, theoretically, if you're a woman, you know enough about shirts that you can buy a shirt knowing whether or not it has to be ironed.
Right. I mean, mine normally don't, but they tend to spend a lot of time wadded up in suitcases or... on the floor of the closet. And
I see. I usually don't do laundry until I've got the time to do it and put it away. So that hardly. Although my wife is very much in the do laundry and then leave it, you know, in the dryer for a month camp.
You also don't. You only wear like one outfit a week.
No, I change shirts.
Your laundry has to pile up fairly slowly.
I mean, the thing is, I have a lot. I own like 100. I never throw away shirts.
Mm.
I have more shirts than my wife, which I feel like makes me sort of an anomaly among men.
You have more shirts than wives.
Yeah.
Awesome.
When I was on my way to St. Ives, I saw this guy with 7 boxes, and in each box were 7 bags, and in each bag was 7 shirts, and I just bought them all.
Right.
Or as Bon Jovi would say, I've seen a million shirts, and I rocked them all.
Right. You rocked them all until the shirts fell out of them all, and then you...
Yeah. I specifically rocked the Gap.
Right.
After I was done minding it.
I'm
actually at this point down to, there's a bunch of laundry that hasn't been put away, and I just don't want to put it away, so I'm down to the shirts that don't really fit me.
Hmm.
So I get a little, you know.
I keep seeing old pictures of me in shirts that I no longer have, and I wonder what the fuck happened to them.
Really?
And that makes me sad.
I found a box when I was moving that's like all of my like REM shirts from high school.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, cool, I still have this. And then I put, you know, some new shirts in the... I tend to get They Might Be Giants shirts and then wear them until they are completely destroyed.
Hmm.
I have this plan that everybody makes fun of me for, but I have this plan to eventually make, like, a quilt out of all of the shirts that I have that I wear out. But, people make fun of me because that is a super, super gay plan.
Well, there's nothing gay about quilting.
quilted Northern. Bobulus says, I want to teach myself a programming language and figured I'd try making a KOL-type web game as a long-term goal. Any suggestions on getting started? I'm thinking C#. Obviously nothing as complex as KOL, I just need a long-term goal to accomplish anything. If you were going to do a web-based game, I would suggest using... either ASP or PHP rather than C#, because ASP and PHP are both very, very web-centric languages, and you'll be able to get a hosting account somewhere that automatically supports either of those, whereas it would be a giant pain in the ass to develop something in C# and actually have it run on the web, as based on what I know about that. And I mean, basically, if you learn PHP, you kind of know Java, and you kind of know C. You can the learning curve is very flat between those things. Although learning PHP will make you a very bad Java or C programmer, because PHP is very forgiving in terms of like things that real programmers think are very important. I don't know anything about them. You'd have to ask Xenophobe. Diesel says, can we get an option for certain clan ranks to not be able to receive buffs? Sometimes there are a lot of multis in, and spending on buffs gets ridiculous. Well, don't let a bunch of multis into your clan, I guess, is the answer to that. They coughs and sputters thing should be fixed.
Excellent.
ACM says, what is the benefit of taking a familiar through the gash now? I mean, it maintains no experience, weight, or even conversational continuity. Shouldn't there be some difference so that it's a strategic choice at least? Oh, I don't know. What difference would it be?
Give it a pound.
A pound? Give it a good pounding?
Maybe 5 pounds. Which is like $10.
Right. Neviazin says, does Jick have a heart? Sure, I have the heart of a 10-year-old boy in a jar on my desk.
Oh. Cyphotrix asks what I'm doing in Oshkosh. So apparently he also thinks that you're in Sioux City, Iowa.
But I am.
Oh. Far out.
Katarina Navan says, have you read any books by Christopher Moore, particularly Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal? I think you'd like him. You're a big fan of Christopher Moore, aren't you?
Yeah, I've read everything he's put out, and he has yet to fail to entertain me.
I have not read any of them. It's stuff that you would enjoy. That's what I'm told. That's what I'm told. I'm just not loaning you any more books. Yeah, I know. I feel like every time I go to a bookstore and see a Christopher Moore book, I think, oh yeah, Scully says I should get one of these, but then I never remember which one you've said that I should start with. Hmm. I think I get Christopher Moore and Terry Pratchett mixed up, where I think it's really important that I pick the right one.
Right. He has several books that have a continuity in them, but it's never really that important.
I see.
Like, I read a book that... One of the later books has a character from one of the earlier books that I didn't realize that was the case until I read the earlier book, but it didn't make me enjoy the book any less.
I see.
Just grab one. Lamb is probably a decent place to start, because you hate Jesus.
I don't hate Jesus. I seriously don't hate Jesus. I would imagine that Jesus was probably a pretty cool guy.
I wouldn't seriously accuse you of hating Jesus.
Okay.
But you're not the kind of person who's going to be offended by an irreverent retelling of Jesus' life.
And that's certainly true. You're
familiar enough with that stuff that you'd enjoy it, but it's not likely to offend you.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know how I ended up knowing so much about the Bible.
Hanging out with me.
I guess that could be part of it. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the Bible, you know? So, like, I guess every time I've been, like, you know, every time I've seen a reference to something in the Bible, I have looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I mean, it used to be that I asked you what the story was, and now I think I just, you know, check on Wikipedia or, like, you know, look at the Bible online.
Yeah.
I have a Bible.
Why
for those times when I need to look something up in a Bible and I don't want to walk from the room where the books are to a room where a computer is.
Why do you have a Bible?
I just got one at some point. I think that I found a fairly cool looking Bible for like 50 cents at a thrift store, and so I just picked it up so that I would have one.
Hmm.
I mean, eventually I would like to read the Bible just because it sort of interests me as a piece of literature.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of boring bits, and there's a lot of bits. I'm a little worried that I would end up thinking that Christians are even crazier than they actually are if I read the entire Bible.
Yeah, because most Christians don't.
Yeah, and most Christian sort of doctrine and behavior is so far removed from what that crazy book would actually suggest.
I think
like just the sort of level of just sort of being a dick that the Old Testament God exhibits.
Right.
It to me seems kind of, you know. I guess you just have to believe that he mellowed after he had a kid.
Yeah. I think it's just more that, in like talking to my mom and dad, they will say that you take all of the Bible and you take it at face value and literally or none of it. But when you actually start talking to them, there are huge chunks that they will say were obviously written for that time or was just one person's thing and not necessarily the whole God thing, and maybe, you know, so there's just a shit ton of wiggle room, and if you read through the Bible thinking that people actually read it and followed every single part of it, you would think that those people were nuts. There's some guy who wrote a book about that recently, where he spent a year trying to
every
rule.
The year of living biblically or whatever?
Yeah. That sounded kind of interesting.
Yeah, I would not mind reading that, actually. But, it seems like, and this was what I never got about your dad, is that all you would have to do was say, yep, some of it is allegorical.
Mm-hmm.
And that just fixes every single problem that anybody could ever come up with.
Right.
But then you would have to believe that, you know what, wait, maybe the important parts are allegorical, too. And I guess that's just sort of anathema to that way of thinking.
And I think he just honestly thinks that if... say that Jonah and the whale wasn't an actual thing that actually happened with an actual dude or an actual fish, it doesn't mean anything. And if Jonah and the whale is an allegory, then you might as well just throw the entire Bible out the window. There are things in the Bible that are labeled as allegory that he says, okay, yeah, that's a parable, but like it's really important to him that the things that aren't labeled thus actually happened. It seems strange. Hey, there's nobody playing Kingdom of Loathing right now.
Oh, man.
We're screwed.
Is this usually zero?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's seven people online.
Oh, and Dev, yeah. Why are 7 and 8 down?
There's something weird going on with them. You can play on them, but whenever an appreciable number of people get on them, they just start choking. And they choke in a way that makes all of the redirection go to them. That's what was wrong. Like, I forget when, last night, maybe, when Fusilaband called me and said, hey, KOL's down. It was just because Dub 8 was choking on its own cock, and everybody was being redirected to Dub 8. So I don't know what the deal is. Tomorrow, one way or another, we are back to a point where we have somebody whose job it is to support the servers. So it'll be fine. They're not down so much as they're just taken out of the regular rotation. And we're fine. Load hasn't been such that it's a big deal to have everybody on to 6 servers instead of 8. And it was 7 yesterday and it was 6 today. Tomorrow maybe it will be 5. But then the day after that it'll be 8 again. And then the third day, we went to your mother's, so that just seemed like one day. But then the fourth day seemed like 2.5 days. Reverend Noodleson says, Dear JNS, the 5 new trophies kind of showed that there isn't a lot of cold damage effects / items. Do you think there should be more? Also, screw the guy that fucked with the freezer-burned ice cube price. 1 million for a semi-rare? Hey, the mall is not the game.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the trophies finally got discovered, because they're cool. Another says, what am I supposed to do? I wonder if you followed it up with an I lost my shit because of you. Nothing can stop me now, because I don't care anymore.
Is that a Nine Inch Nails lyric?
Yes, it is. Good job on the identification.
I mean, I was actually, my first thought was, is that something that you wrote in a journal when you were 16?
Yep.
Of course, both of those things could possibly be true.
That is true, yeah. I keep saying, man, I think the best album ever would be The Downward Spiral with the vocal track removed.
Yeah.
Although, or maybe just somebody going, mama, 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 instead of talking, because...
You know what would work? I enjoy listening to, sometimes, to, like, rap songs, whatnot, in other languages, because you can't really tell if the lyrics are lame. Like, rap songs in Japanese are awesome, and they could be saying the most banal bullshit. So maybe just somebody needs to re-record the Trent should re-record the Downward Spiral in Japanese or Russian or something, some language that you don't speak, and then I would probably enjoy listening to it, actually. So I actually do like the music now that my tastes have kind of matured, but my tastes having matured means that I can't stand the lyrics.
Yeah, that's a problem with people getting into that after the fact.
You kind of have to be in high school to be like, yeah, head like a hole, black as your soul. I mean, the whole black like my soul thing I got from that song.
Right. Badger says, hey guys, you know Super Mario Galaxy and the book Confessor come out tomorrow, I think. What's the book Confessor?
I don't know, but it comes out tomorrow.
Ah. Confessor. It's a confessor does not dance. I wonder if there's confessor disambiguation. Yes, there is. Novel. Oh, the 11th novel in Terry Goodkind's Sort of Truth series. Okay. I sort of don't care about that. Oh. BAM says, allow the information in the clan logs to be accessed separately instead of in one large file, so only certain information is accessed at a time, thereby saving database hits. Now, it actually creates more database hits. I could see maybe, you know, collapsing sections of it if they were long, making it so you had to uncollapse them, or at least making sections of it collapsible. That was an interim solution that ended up being the permanent solution. It's better than it used to be. And then the traveling retard sends exactly the same question as BAM. Yes, Dan Bull says, there hasn't been a trivial update or announcement all this month. Is there just nothing to do? No, we're just working on the, on the pirate revamp, man. Are you still there, Scully?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I hadn't gotten disconnected or something. Squee says, usually when people call someone gay or a faggot while joking, I don't find it funny at all. But for some reason, when you guys do it on the air, whether it's mentioning Fuzzle Faggot Ridge or talking about the World of Warcraft GMs, I end up laughing my ass off. Well, that's because we definitely are doing it in the spirit in which we intend it, which is has just nothing to do with people who are gay.
Yeah.
And I think that is entirely okay. ACCE245 says, keyboard always wins. Huh. Mellow Quartz asks if either of us play Puzzle Quest. Have you played Puzzle Quest?
No.
Puzzle Quest is fun.
I played Puzzle Pirates for, like, 2 days, and then I was done with it. But
really? I lasted about 15 minutes.
Well, like, the first day I started playing and was learning how to do all the little mini games, and the mini games were actually kind of fun, and the tutorial led me to believe I would really enjoy playing the game. So I had, you know, graduated from the tutorial where I was on, you know, Bob Tutorials Sailing Vessel, and went to find an actual ship to work on, and then just ran into the most retarded community I've ever seen. So
really? That bad, huh?
Yeah. I forget that outside of the rarefied air of like XKCD and KOL and, you know, some of the places where they prize grammar and intelligent conversation, the internet is basically a wasteland.
Do you hang out on the XKCD forums or something?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah? I've never even checked them out. It's weird, it doesn't occur to me that places have forums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that there was such a thriving community and something awful was really surprising to me.
Checked out the XKCD forums mainly because I didn't get the pseudo make me a sandwich strip.
I see.
So I went to see if they had an explanation, and turns out there's a pretty good community over there.
Let's see. Wow, this couple hours has just flown by.
It really has. It was a good show. Makes me believe in doing shows again.
Yes. Yes, it does. Oh, huh. Somebody points out a video speed run of God of War with all the cinematics left in. That's interesting. Although, I have a feeling that watching it online is gonna be, like, you lose a lot of the, like, sort of, you know, sweeping large-scale visuals if it's got MPEG compression artifacts. Oh, man! You know, I don't know how surprised I should be, but my five or six-year-old Costco projection widescreen television has shot craps.
Oh.
So, which I'd been using in the bedroom, because I kept thinking that I was going to buy, like, a plasma TV or whatever for downstairs, and I just keep, like, not caring enough about that kind of thing to actually go buy one.
Right.
I mean, is it, like, I had a guy come in, I'm like, hey, you know, have a place, like, give me a quote for setting up our surround sound system and everything, and then they gave me the quote, and I was looking at that, and I was thinking, you know, I could go see, like, 400 movies.
You can You could also buy a $300 surround sound system and install it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the reason that I've never done that is because I hate the idea of running wires to, like, speakers on the floor. Right. So, I mean, I was actually having speakers, like, installed in the ceiling and stuff.
Oh.
When I got the quote, because I didn't want to just, like, be tripping over shit. Because I will. I will trip over cords and just destroy shit.
Yeah.
So, that's my one incentive to do things in a way that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I won't be tripping over shit. But, I don't think that I'm ever going to get around to actually doing that. So, I've just got some, like, I've got, like, a $150 TV downstairs. And it's, like, fine for when I watch Family Guy while I'm eating lunch or whatever, and so I don't know. But I'm sad that the big screen quit working. Really, I would rent a big screen TV for $100 a year, and if I thought about it like that, then I wouldn't feel so bad. But so I guess I could see if somebody could fix it.
And sooner or later, and I don't know, having the surround sound and everything, especially down in the basement with the echoing and the grooviness, it really makes my TV seem ever smaller. And I'm trying not to want to replace it before it gives out, just because it seems foolish to replace a working appliance just because you want a bigger one.
Yeah.
But it's getting harder.
So, I mean, I had a TV for... This was weird. I bought a fucking refrigerator, like, 3 years ago, and the compressor just blew out and stopped working.
Hmm.
So I had to get that bullshit fixed. Like, and yet, this house and the other house had, like, 20-year-old refrigerators in, like, a garage or, like, the upstairs or whatever,
mm-hmm,
that are still just chugging right along. They just don't make things the way that they used to, and it really makes me angry. The TV that I had from the time that I moved out of my parents' house until, like, 5 years ago when I bought this TV was just this kind of... It wasn't, like, the cheapest TV in the world, but it was just this Magnavox TV that was made in, like, the early 80s, and it was fine, and it still works. It still works just fine. You know, and yet everything newer than that just breaks. I don't know what get off my lawn, Mr. Skullhead.
I guess they don't make them. The funny thing is, we can't say they don't make things like they did back when we were kids, because it's really, they don't make things the way they did back when our parents were kids.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, to a certain extent, though, that happened in our lifetimes.
Hmm.
You know, the house had an upstairs air conditioner and a downstairs air conditioner. And the upstairs air conditioner was 20 years old, and the downstairs air conditioner was 2 years old. And I spent, $1,000 over the course of a year fixing the downstairs air conditioner, whereas the upstairs one was just chugging right along perfectly the entire time. And, the guy that came out was like, yep, this one will last you longer than the new one. They just don't make them like they used to. Refrigerator guy says the same thing.
Hmm.
And it's this, like, planned obsolescence thing that I don't... I think that it's going to bite the country's quality of life in the ass before too long.
Yeah.
Because, you just think, I'll just buy another one. But then, a couple more years of bad economy and nobody can buy another one.
So we're all just sitting in a pile of broken gadgets.
Yeah, with a bunch of melting popsicles.
Yep.
Gonna have to start enjoying the Otter Pops in liquid form.
That would be kind of foul, actually. I don't think I've ever tried that, but...
Yeah, I haven't either.
It seems like that would be kind of gross. I mean, Otter Pops in frozen form are kind of frozen perfection, but... Yeah.
Spore Frog says he lives in Tempe and ordered a shirt over 3 weeks ago. How am I going to parade across campus advertising KOL without it? Sorry, Spore Frog. You probably ordered one of the shirts that we were out of stock on, and had to basically start over with the entire, hey, we should make shirts with our logos on them and sell them to people process, since you ordered it. Basically, anything that we ran out of stock on in the last, like, month, it was just this giant, giant clusterfuck. And I think that it is solved. So, honestly, you should get your shirt this week. I am confident that I'm confident that you are going to get your shirt this week.
There's also there's something
also
about
Ghost Sun Devils.
Yeah. What? Jeez. There's also something about the mail service in Phoenix. Like, when we sent out wedding invitations, we mailed Zlania's from the post office that was like two blocks from her house. And it took a week to get to her house. It's just weird. I thought that, okay, mail just takes a week regardless of whether the person is two doors away from you or, you know, across the country. But here, it seems like it's about one day to cross the city.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes here it's quick.
I've had the...
I feel like there might be vagaries of the sorting process that cause that kind of thing to happen sometimes. But also, I mean, so we had a whole set of packages where some fucking mailman just opened them up and took all the stuff out of them. And they showed up as empty manila envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
And Zly went to the post office and were like, you know, what the fuck? And they were like, yeah, sorry, we can't do anything about that. We're like, look, they were bound to all different parts of the country, and they all showed up empty. It has to be someone here who did it. They're like, well, you can file a grievance with your carrier, and that's all you can do. And our carrier didn't have anything to do with it, you know? That was frustrating. But anyway... Are we ready to are we ready to be done?
We're just about.
Wow. Inferno Hero says, so I was listening to a show from a year and some months ago, and you all said you enjoyed the 40-year-old version more than Anchorman. Do you still feel the same way? Yeah, I still feel the same way.
I feel like I haven't seen Anchorman still.
Really?
Yeah.
It's worth seeing. Did you like the 40-year-old version?
I did. I really enjoyed it.
I think as much as you don't like Will Ferrell,
well,
you could probably get behind Anchorman.
Talladega Nights kind of made me rethink Will Ferrell.
Really? Because I have yet to see that.
I thought he was pretty damn funny in it, and when he was being annoying, John C. Reilly was there being really funny.
So who's John C. Reilly?
I think we went through this last week. He's a guy who's been in a lot of movies you haven't seen, like Magnolia in Chicago.
I've seen Magnolia.
He's the cop in Magnolia.
I don't remember the cop, though.
He's just one of those kind of everyman.
Oh, yeah, okay, that guy.
Kind of big square head.
I think I get him mixed up with some guy that was on Star Trek.
Hmm.
Who was it? Was John C. Reilly in The Commitments?
No, you're mixing up with Cole Meany. Transporter room guy in Star Trek The Next Generation who was in The Commitments.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. They don't look at all alike, and yet they're the same person in my head. John C. Reilly, if somebody had... What is it that he's in? I'm the most... What's Eating Gilbert Grape? If anybody had ever said to me he's the guy in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I would have been all, oh, that guy.
Hmm. Who's the one guy that I can never remember his name, who's in everything, is the, he was Mad-Eye Moody in Goblet of
Fire. Oh, yeah, and he was,
the Flesh Farron AI. He was in Gangs of New York.
He was Hamish in Braveheart,
right,
too. There was a Braveheart 2.
It was fairly boring because...
It's just like a puddle of blood.
Heart decomposing.
Yeah.
You've got me doing that. I'm your Uncle Argyle, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that was that other guy. the guy that was Captain O'Hagan in Super Troopers. was the Uncle Argyle.
Well, when you get into like Brian Cox and James Coburn and Courtney Cox, they're all kind of the same person.
Yeah, what the hell is O'Hagan's name?
Wasn't that Brian Cox? The same guy from X-Men?
Is that Brian Cox? Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is the matter with IMDb? Yeah, it's Brian Cox.
And on that note, I think we should get out of here. Do you?
Yeah.
Brian Cox, everyone. Brian Cox and a Brian Cox.
Wait a minute. No. We need to know the guy's name from Braveheart.
Oh, right.
And the guy who was Mad-Eye Moody.
Oh, that's, he was in Gangs of New York, and I'm still struggling to forgive him for that, because that movie was horrible. Are you looking it up, or should I be looking it up?
I am, but I should have looked in at a movie where he was a more, Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, yeah. Brendan Gleeson. I think I have most...
Hey, he didn't decide to become an actor until age 34. Well, there's hope for us, Mr. Skullhead.
Yeah, I could still be an actor. Hot shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was in The Village, too.
There was a Village, too?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll see you kids on Thursday, same as always.
And I'll see you tomorrow, same as it ever was.
Good night, man.